So this is a holy celebration. It takes place every year in Vrindavan. This is a Naimittik Leela and Nitya Leela. Naimittik in the sense that it's occasional, it goes according to season. And Nitya in the sense that it's eternal, because in Radhakund every day at Madhyan Kal, between 10:48 in the morning and 3:36 in the afternoon, Radha and Krishna meet at Radhakund, and they have a variety of pastimes, including Banbihar and Jalkeli, and Luka Luki, and Pasha Kela, and Marupan, and Julan, and also Holi. But then this Leela of Holi also takes place seasonally every year, beginning with Vasant Panchami, which is around January or February. Let's say January. And it goes on to Gaur Purnim, which is called Holi Purnim, or Dol Purnim. So the entire period of spring, beginning of spring, is 40 days. Or it's actually a five-week period. And during this time, the Brijvasis, they throw colored powder and squirt colored water on each other from their pichkaris. Pichkaris means syringe. And why do they do this? This is a sign of affection, a sign of love. And at the same time, this is modern-day Brijvasis. When they're doing this, it helps them remember the same pastime that Radha and Krishna played. So, of course, Rupa Goswami, he mentions Holi in his Gitavali song number 40 in Vasant Rag. And Kavi Karnapur in his Ananda Vrindavan Champu, which we translated and produced, chapter 14, there's an extensive description of Holi. And also Krishnadas Kaviraj and Govinda Lilamrita. So there's this one particular rendition we have here is from a book called Sri Madhukeli Vali by Govardhan Bhatt Goswami, which is translated by Vaita Das. And this was done 1990. So the very same person was here. So that was 1990, is 10 years and 17 years ago. And he says it's a rough translation. Krishna and the coward boys taking their pitchkaris, filled with kunkum water and gulal, these are reddish waters, in their hands. Their turbans are standing on their heads in a slightly slanted way, and they're carrying reeds and they wear silken cloths. When the gopis see the gopas armed and ready for holi, they become afraid. The sky becomes filled with the beautiful reverberations of mridangas, berries, veenas, and flutes. And when the birds in the trees hear these, they become very blissful and fall silent and become dizzy with the excitement. Sri Radhika's face is beautified with various aspects of Cupid, like lowered smiling eyes, a inflamed nose, and quivering lips. Madhu Mangal, the funny Brahmana friend of Krishna, he dances about with his arms raised, loudly shouting, "Ho, ho, holiye, holiye, ho, ho, holiye," making all the gopis and gopas laugh with his crooked turban and his musk-smeared face and his thick neck as he rolls over his shoulders, saying, so he does, in other words, he does a somersault. You know, he rolls on the ground. He's very comical. He's kind of fatty, has a fat neck, and he holds his head in a little bit crooked way. And his skin is golden color. He's very golden, fair-colored Brahmin, but he's smeared all black kasturi on his face, so he looks very funny. So he's doing somersaults, and he's saying, "Don't be afraid of these gopis, Krishna. Don't you know my Brahmin Tejas? I can easily defeat them." Then he takes his rod, he has like a danda, and he starts wheeling it around in the air. Then he takes two or three steps forward. Then he comes back to the group of gopas and says, loudly chastising them on Krishna's indication, "Oh, you weakling cowherd boys, you better go back home. On my own power, I will chase all these gopis away. By the power of my Gayatri mantra, I have enabled Krishna to kill all those ferocious demons. Now these gopis want to lure me in their midst and splash me with colored water. Oh, Krishna, you are the fortunate son of Nandaraj, Brajaraj Nanda. But in the company of these gopas, You became so proud and naughty. You are laughing when you see me. But although you have learned all your clever tricks from me, the crown jewel of all your friends, you are now giving me sorrow. Oh, Giridhari, I came here to Vrindavan to quarrel with Radhika and the jewel of gopis. But unfortunately, you humiliated me now in front of them. How can I stay with friends like you? I will go to Mother Yashoda and she will give me lots of rubbery. Or I may go to the assembly of Radhika's sakis and complain to them and please them with my prayers. O Prince of Braj, because of your pride, our friendship is now broken. Saying this, Madhumangal twirled his golden stick around and he went to the assembly of Radhika's sakis in great bliss. Lita Sakhi stopped him, pulled at his clothes, and tied him up on Radhika's order, smearing him with colored, fragrant paste. In great ecstasy, Madhumangal tells, being eager to see Radha Gokulananda's pastimes, he tells Radhika, "Hey Radhe, just see, I left the Prince of Braj to take shelter of you. Oh, stream of mercy, please keep me with you. I am bound up by my friends, although I am a Brahmin boy." It's like in Sanskrit, it makes much more sense because Brahmin boy means Dvija Bandha. And then this is bound means Bandha. So then friends, he says, Dvija Bandha, then Sakha Bandha, something like this. "This is not proper. It is your duty to protect the souls that take shelter of you, O Gandharvika. The arrow-like jokes of your sakis hurt me more than the bondage of their ropes. O Prince of Gokul, you who are filled with good fortune, O Supreme Goddess, O Stream of Sweetness, you whose body is desired for by all the housewives of Braj, please be kind to me, O Lalite. Even Krishna is afraid of you and folds his hands before you. Let me go. I've lost my faith in Krishna. I will bring Madhav here and he will lament to you and pray for your mercy after I defeat him." The Lita says, "Oh, clever Batu," that's a nickname for Madhumangal, "how come you suddenly left Shama Sundar? He is qualified, friendly, famous, satisfied, and good at playing the flute. It is very sad that you've left." Madhumangal enviously replies, "Hey Lalite, are you testing me? I know Sham, who enchants you girls with his poisonous flute song, very well. He destroys the patience of all you chaste girls. He's the crown jewel of womanizers, and he's very lusty." Hearing these beautiful descriptions of Hari, Radhika bites her reddish lips and says, "Oh, hard-hearted Batu, how can you betray this most soft and spotless Mukunda, who's adorned with all qualities and it was more beautiful than Cupid?" Madhu says, "Hey Radhe, you speak the truth. You are the crown jewel of all young girls. I came to the dust of your pure lotus feet that makes Shyam forget to tend his cows, play his flute, or keep his yellow cloth on." So just Radharani's feet makes Krishna drop his dhoti, forget about his duties as a gopa, and forget how to play his flute. "The bondage of these ropes hurts me. Please release me from these ropes." Hearing this, Radhika was immersed in a nectar flood of compassion and untied the ropes that were binding the best of brahmanas and said, "Oh, holy, intelligent Brahman, don't be so proud thinking that you're the greatest. You are actually devoid of all pious qualities." Madhumangal said, "I have no control over my brahminical power. Your girlfriends managed to defeat Krishna only through my power. They are just weak girls themselves." Then Madhumangal danced around, jumping in funny ways, making the gopis happy. Govinda Vinodini, Radhika, then became pleased. And Madhumangal said, "Hey Radhe, I'm hungry. Give me some sweets." Chitra Sakhi says, "How amazing that this Brahman is hungry. Has he become a beggar because his brahminical power was lost? Well, otherwise, would the well-behaved, humble son of Nanda have abandoned him? Otherwise, why would have Why otherwise would the well-behaved, humble son of Nanda abandon him? Madhumangal becomes angry and says, "Hey, Radhe, stop this impudent girl from offending a Brahmin. Don't humiliate me, I swear you. I left Hari to join you and to feed him. O merciful daughter of Rishabhanu, stop laughing and give me some fresh, tasty sweets." Chirchir again says, "Okay, come on, eat some sweets." And then she smears him full of kunkum powder. Madhumangal, getting angry, says, "Oh, hey, Chitre, it's not your fault. I was so foolish to betray Sri Hari, and now I have to suffer for it." And he quickly backs off. But Lita stops him with a stick and says, "Hey, where are you going? I thought you were hungry. Quickly eat something." Radhika stops Lalita with a wink of her eyebrows. Not a wink, I guess a wink of her eyes. It should be. And makes the friend of her lover eat some sweets. See, she's so kind. Vishakha, seeing Radhika adorned with love for Hari, sweetly tells her, "Hey, Sakhi, why are you suffering so much physically? Your eyes are suddenly filled with tears. Your skin is studded with goose pimples and you're shivering. Your speech is speechless and your voice is choked. Beautiful one, O Sundari, I see a slight smile on your lips. Your activities are astonishing. I don't know if you're happy or sad." Radhika, "Sakhi, my mind yearns to see the Prince of Gokul, whose body is smeared with yellow sandal paste, and it was more beautiful than millions of cupids. What can I do?" Suddenly, Radhika hears Hari's flute song, which is carrying her name in its notes. Then she glances at Hari from the corners of her eyes. Part 2. As Madhumangal eats some laddus, restless-eyed Sudevi throws kunkum powder over his head. Haribo. Other gopis, drunk with honey wine, it's called Madhupan, they squirt different kinds of colored water over Shamsundar's clown-like friend with golden syringes. They throw lotus stems and fragrant powder at him. Kusumasava, that's another name of Madhumangal, who is always eager to make please Hari, he runs back to Krishna and says, "Oh, hey Gopal, oh friend of Subal, Hari, save me." Krishna says, "Subal, what is that? Isn't that the pitiful cries of Batu? We better go rescue him." "Don't be afraid of the gopis. A steady person like you, Subal, is never defeated." Subal was very eager to have his Chatika bird eyes enjoy the ambrosial vision of the Krishna cloud adorned with the strikes of Radha lightning. So he happily and cleverly entered the group of gopis. Radhika said, "O mind, why are you so anxious? Surely you will attain Hari's blissful Leela. Just see, his dear friend Subal is entering the assembly of Sakis." Smiling, Subal said, "Hey Brinde, where is our friend Madhumangal, who's making all that noise?" Excuse me, why is our friend Madhumangal? Madhumangal says, "Oh bold Subal, why did you come here? I have surrendered to Radhika's lotus feet. I don't care for Madhav and his friends any more. I just screamed to test Hari's love. But instead of coming himself, he sent you. Get out of here." Subal humbly looked down at Radhika's lotus feet and said, "Hey Radhe, you are praised by all the saints. Please listen. Krishna sent me here to find out what calamity has happened to Madhumangal. If you are not merciful to me, then love itself has descended to hell, and I don't know what my condition will be then." The expert joker Tungavidya came up to Subal and smeared him with kajal, mostly in the eyes. So she took some black stuff and she just rubbed all over his eyes. Subal then tells Radhika, "Oh, your girlfriends are very learned," because Tungavidya means, that's her name, Tungavidya means strength and knowledge, or very much vidya, very strong in vidya. So he's making a joke. "Oh, your girlfriends are very learned. I cannot understand why they can be so indecent." Rasavati Lalita smiles and says, "These customs are only seen on auspicious occasions like holy. The king of lovers knows that." Brinda says, "Oh, Radha, release these two friends of Nanda. Fix your mind on Krishna, the king of innocent boys. You are, after all, a very virtuous girl. Then Lita says, "Radha, Van Devi, Brinda speaks the truth. Release these two boys, Subal and Madamangal. Krishodari." Krishodari means slender. Radharani, she does this. And Madamangal and Subal run very quickly back to Madhav. Madamangal says, "Govinda, just see how fortunate I was. I escaped from these girls. Please give me some reward." In other words, he wants more sweets. Subal laughs loudly and says, "Hey, Nanda Nandan, what more can I say? Madamangal was intoxicated by his own pride. He doesn't count my virtues. He wants to take all the honor for himself. He was screaming loudly even when these little girls beat him with lotus flowers. It was only on my plea that Radhika had him released. If this Subal had not gone to the assembly of gopis..." It's so much funny the way they joke and lie and everything. "Madamangal would have been in great trouble." Then Madamangal says, "This Subal is such a cheater. Look at his eyes. The gopis forcibly smeared them with kajal. You can see clearly that he was defeated by them. Where was his bala?" He's supposed to be Subal at that time. "Hey, Hare, how was Subal defeated by these abala gopis?" This is a play on word. How was Subal defeated by abala? Abala means, abala is a word in Sanskrit for women. Abal. They say stri. They say stri. Stri means expand. Because, you know, woman, her body expands, and if you're with her, your maya expands. "Only because of his offenses to a Brahmin like me." Because Subal... Oh, yeah, Madamangal is saying, how was he defeated? Because he made offenses to me. Because Madamangal is a Brahmin. Meanwhile, Hari becomes eager to see Radhika, and he says, "Hey, Batu, your belly became so fat. Surely the gopis were feeding you nicely." Madamangal, "Krishna, the Manohar Ladus, the music and the dancing of the gopis are much better than those of the gopas. Don't be so proud of your flute playing. Now go perfect your cleverness in playing and bless your eyes by seeing them." This is interesting. This is written by this Govardhan Bhatta. This is written by this Madho Keli Vali. Was written by Govardhan Bhatta Goswami. And he was initiated. He comes in a line from Gadadhar Bhatta Goswami. He's a grandson of Gadadhar Bhatta. And Gadadhar Bhatta was a disciple of the six Goswamis, Raghunath Bhatta. So this was written, you know, roughly about 100 or 200 years ago. But it's very much like Ananda Vrindavan Champu. Many of the same points are being made here. It's like a rewrite, almost very similar. Vrindavan Champu was written 500 years ago by associate of Lord Chaitanya, Kavi Karnapur. I see much similarities. So then... Let's see where we are. So Hari becomes eager to see. So then, "Don't be so proud of your flute playing." Madamangal says, "Don't be so proud of your flute playing. Now go perfect your cleverness." Hari's heart melts upon hearing this, and he begins to play his flute with a smile, yearning for beautiful Radhika. Radhika's pierced by Cupid's arrows when she hears his flute song. Her body is studded with goose pimples, and she loses her bodily color fades, and she starts crying, holding onto the shoulder of Vishakha for support and drinking the nectar of pure love for Hari. Brinda ecstatically points at Radha and says, "Hey, Chitra, look at Radhika's ecstasy after she hears Hari's flute song." When Brinda sees how happy Govinda is from seeing the beauty of all the fruits, flowers, vines, and trees in the forest, she says, "Hey, Chitre, who can praise Krishna's flute that rests on his lips and destroys the pride of all the gopis? Which beautiful gopi can remain calm after hearing that flute song, which causes their blouses and underwear to fall off, and which makes them forget their duties and their husbands and run out of their houses into the forest?" Then the sound of drums, flutes, and veenas arises in the sky, giving great joy to Govinda's party. The crown jewel of Sakhis, Lalita, says, "Radhe, why are you getting bewildered? Try to defeat that proud Govinda. I will crush his pride and bring him here before you. O crown jewel of pure housewives, O moon-faced girl, I can't stand Krishna's pride. As long as your ankle bells sing as sweetly as swans, Krishna does not know where his yellow cloth, stick, flute, or peacock feather have gone. So, Lalita Sakhi, she's alluding to the power of Radharani's, just some things that are connected with Radharani. What to speak of Radharani's actual body, her glance, or her voice, or her smile, or her eye movements, or her eyebrow movements. Simply the ankle bells of Radharani, when they jingle or tinkle, they resound like the warbling of swans, like the singing of swans in a lake. And when Krishna simply hears Radharani's ankle bells, which can be heard from a distance, you can hear ankle bells from 10 feet, 20 feet, 40, 50 feet away, you can hear ankle bells. So he's not seeing her eyebrow movements or her sight, her Radhakripa Kataksha, her sidelong glances, or her smile or her teeth or anything. He's just hearing her ankle bells. And what happens? His yellow Pitambara Dhoti slips off. He drops his cowherding stick. He drops the flute from his hand. His peacock feather falls off his turban. That's the prabhav, or that's the influence. It's simply Radharani's ankle bells. Apara siddhi riddhi dikta sattvadangalina ke. Just the naka of Radharani has so much power, can bless all the demigoddesses. Sri Radhika, whose beauty defeats innumerable lotus flowers, said, "Hey Sakis, let's go out for victory. Look how proudly Krishna prances along with his coward friends. Now let's stop them from making all this ruckus here in Vrindavan. Take the jugs filled of yellow flower-scented water with you." Hearing this, the gopis loudly and blissfully begin to sing, fearlessly approaching the prince of cowherders and filling Vrindavan with the sound of their ambrosial songs. Vishakha humbly and beautifully begins to dance. Chitra plays a veena in a wonderful way. Sudevi sings and Brinda plays mridanga. Some gopis take a golden pot with colored water on the head, and others come before Radha with flower bows and arrows, flower balls and syringes, and begin to fight each other with these weapons that cause a piercing sensation of Cupid's shafts in them. Intoxicated by new passions, Radhika puts her lotus hand on one Sakhi's shoulder. Seeing that the ground is becoming red from the touch of Hari's footsoles, waves of gentle smiles appear on Radha's lotus face, and then she tells Lalita, "Hey Sakhi, who is that boy who shines like a mass of eyeliner, coloring all directions with his blackish luster and the white glittering of his smile? My eyes are completely startled and astonished by such a beautiful sight." Radhika becomes shy when she sees her beloved, and then she tells a Sakhi, "Hey Sakhi, is Hari blinking at me from behind Subal's back? Is he trying to tell me something?" At that moment, the entire forest of Vrindavan starts to sparkle like a blue lotus flower with his squinting glances that are full of deep love for Radhika, as Krishna speaks to Subal, "Hey Sakha, who is this beautiful smiling girl who's playing with her dear friends and who gives joy to everyone with her incomparably beautiful singing and dancing? She reddens the forest soil with the reflection of her red moon-like toenails, and she twirls a toy lotus in her hand. Just seeing her shatters my body and mind." Subal replies, "Hey Krishna, your beloved, who is invisible though visible, has appeared before you. This is not so amazing, for that is the nature of anurag. Give up your unconscious state." Hearing Subal's words, Hari smiles and says, "Aho! The Creator made one herb for me in the form of Radha to make me very happy. There is a pretty young desire vine that shines beautifully, and that is served by spotless coquille birds." Coquille, cuckoo birds. Or, "Radha is a young desire vine who sings as sweet as a coquille. I always sing Radha's name in the forest with my flute, and I always meditate on her stunned and covered with goose pimples of ecstasy. Aho! When Radha's name drips into my ears, I don't know who I am." where I am, where I came from, or what I'm going to do. Other gopis can make me happy only as long as I do not remember her. So this is how much happiness and how much transformation Krishna receives by hearing Radharani's name. And as Krishna feels transformed and ecstatic, Radharani also feels completely transformed and ecstatic upon hearing Krishna's name. So therefore, you can understand that when we chant Hare Krishna, we're giving great pleasure to Radha and Krishna Yugal. Because we're saying Hare, which is Radhe. We're saying Shah, we're saying Krishna, and we're saying Radharaman. Hey Radharaman. Hey Krishna, hey Shamsundar. Hey Radharani. We're calling out to them. It's vocative. We're calling Hare, Hare. Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. Krishna, Krishna, Radharaman. So they're both, when we're chanting this name, what to speak, when we're chanting Hare or we're chanting Radhe, Radhe, then what has happened? What happens to Krishna? He's telling here. He says that, when I hear the nectar of Radharani's name, when someone says Hare, Hare, or Radhe, Radhe, when the nectar drops of Radharani's name fall into my ears, I don't know who I am. I don't know where I am, where I came from, or what I'm going to do. So when someone is in this position, we say he's crazy. We say he's pagal. If you meet someone on the street and you say, who are you? I don't know. Where are you going? I don't know. Where have you come from? I don't know. Well, what are you doing? I don't know. And you say, you're a pagal. You're crazy. You don't know who you are. You don't know where you're going. You don't know where you've come from. And you don't know what you're doing. So you're a crazy man. So just by hearing Radharani's name, Krishna becomes pagal, pagal Krishna. And when Radharani hears Krishna's name, she becomes pagalini. She becomes the same situation. She doesn't know where she is or who she is or where she came from or what she's doing. I swear to you, Subal, without Radhika, my cows, my friends in Vrindavan look like a fearsome fire of destruction to me. Oh-ho! Has the Creator collected all the sweet things of the world to make my Radhika? Or has love taken the form of a Braj Gopi who enchants and excites me? Immersed in an ocean of bliss while relishing a sight of Radha, Krishna clutches a kadamba tree. And while doing this, he steals the heart of Vrishabhanandini. Then Hari begins to cry, his body studded with goose pimples of loving ecstasy. Madhamangal says, O Sakahari, I think you are afraid of all the obstacles to your meeting with Radhika. Your eyes are trembling with excitement. Don't you see me and your friends or your flute Muralika anymore? You cannot keep your dress together on your body either. Brother, look at me. Don't be afraid. Just go to Radha. Ujjvala Sakha smiles slightly and says, Hey Sakha, this Batu is a coward. Just send him to your home where some ladus are kept for him. In his company, we're all becoming afraid. And you, my friend, O Gokulananda, O Gokulanan, you will also be defeated by the gopis. If even Madhumanga was defeated by them, if you, our general, are defeated, then what can we soldiers do other than run away? Hearing this, Madhumanga becomes angry and he tells Ujjvala, You cheater! I am Krishna's well-wishing friend. You have become contaminated by quarreling. Then, at that moment, Hari was smeared with sandalwood paste by Radhika's lotus hand, to the great joy of the assembled sakis, after which he happily starts playing his flute. So all these conversations, we should go there, we should go. And then Radharani just came up. He was so absent-minded, Krishna was so absent-minded, talking to Subal and Ujjval and Madhumangal, and so and enraptured by having Radharani's darshan and hearing her name being described. He became a little absent-minded, and Radharani caught him in that moment of inattention, and she took a big handful of sandalwood paste and smeared it all over his face. Ho, ho, holy hey! So, we'll read this next part. No, we'll take a pause in his face. Radhika hides from Krishna and goes to pick flowers. But Krishna sees her picking flowers with his sidelong glances. Then he squirts some blue water on her from a golden pitchkari. This makes Radhika's cheeks very beautiful and fills her with ecstasy. Then Hari pretends to be angry and says, or rather, pretending to be angry and eager to drink the nectar of Radhika's lotus-like mouth by quarreling with her, says, "Ai, don't be indecent. Don't be so proud of going into my flower garden in Vrindavan." The gopis say, "Oho, glory to the jewel of girls, Sri Radha, to whom these beautiful vines and trees actually belong. You cheater, Krishna. Go back to where you came from before Lalita gets angry and chastises you." Hari says, "Well, where do you suppose I should go? Actually, it's holy, the best month of the year, when all desires are fulfilled. I will do whatever I like. Curses won't help here. Who will listen to all your blubbering? I'm no longer afraid of my superiors." The gopis reply, "Don't you know that we worship the sun god? We are world famous for our piety. Our bodies are very pure, and we're very proud of that. You whimsical boy, your words will not work here." "Don't stay here any longer, you cheater. We have seen your strength in the forest." Hari, "You can give up your crookedness, but not your desires. I will fearlessly fulfill them all. Which gopi would be proud now? Everyone wants to have their desires fulfilled." Shamsaki comes up to Krishna from behind after stifling her ankle bells and smears him with kumkum. Radhika throws a ball of red color on his cheeks while her bangles jingle. Krishna walks up to her like a mad elephant and smears her face with kumkum. Then he folds his hands and humbly prays, "Oh, Priye, a fish cannot live out of water. I am under your control. There is no fault in my behavior. Don't be angry with me, oh fair-faced girl. It does not look nice on your moon-like face." Radhika says, "I know your pitiful prayers. Your sadhu act will not save you here." And she beats Krishna with her play lotus flower. Your sadhu act. In other words, trying to be humble and offer prayers with folded hands. You're trying to act like a sadhu. Brinda says, "Oh, beautiful Radhe, just smear Hari's kanjan eyes with anjan." So the word kanjan means restless, and anjan means eyeliner. Sounds like a play. Just smear Hari's kanjan with anjan. Yeah. Anjan means kajal. So Radhika does that, but her fingers begin to tremble. So she places her other hand on Krishna's shoulder. The sakis drown in oceans of bliss when they see Radha and Krishna touching each other, and they begin to dance and play music. Radha and Mukunda throw gulal on each other and begin to dance with love, sprinkling each other with colored water and singing as sweet as cuckoos. When the swans and Yamuna hear Radha and Krishna singing, they forget their course out of ecstasy. Then Radha and Krishna make their bangles jingle sweetly as they throw lotus stems and balls of lotus flowers at each other. Now that would be nice, people throwing lotus flowers at each other, instead of getting colored powders in your mouth and eyes. Krishna gives great joy to the gopis with a soft smile and playful eyebrows. The beautifully dressed coward boys then make loud sounds and surround the gopis. Some boys imitate women by lowering their heads in a shy-like way, and others imitate yogis by opening their hair knots and smearing themselves with ashes, singing and throwing powder and flower balls. The gopis that look like golden sticks take out their flower bows and arrows on the indication of Radhika. Lotus-eyed Gandharvika, who is a desire vine for Krishna, takes lotus flowers and soft balls in her lotus hands and helps the gopis sprinkle all of Vrindavan with colored water. Vishakha, Chitran, the parrots in the tree start singing, "Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Radhika is one, she is Vrindavaneshwari." Radhika humbly blocks her ears with her hands upon hearing this, and blissfully smiling and gazing at Hari, becomes eager to enjoy in a flower garden, being enchanted by her beautiful face. Krishna tells his friends, "Hey gopas, I can't look at the gopis' faces in front of you all. I'm drowning in an ocean of shyness. Please go home, and we'll play more tomorrow. Now I will meditate on the Supreme Brahman while looking at the lotus faces, at the gopis' lotus faces with lowered eyes." Sri Krishna, the ocean of Ras, thought that the time Subal needed to make a flower bed for him and his beloved in the Kunj was fulfilled with humming black bees, took a millennium. in a kunja that was filled with something. So Subal had been deported to the kunj to prepare the flower bed.